Please take your Bibles and let us stand as we read from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Hear now God's inspired and inerrant word, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. This is the word of God. The Apostle Paul is dealing with all of the relationships that exist within the family. We've already seen in chapter 5 Paul dealing with the relationship of the wife to her husband and also the husband to his wife. In chapter 6, we saw last week the relationship between the children and their parents. And now in verse 4, the Apostle Paul turns his sights upon parents and specifically upon fathers, and he addresses us in our relationship to our children. We as parents often have difficulty in rearing our children for the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the reasons for this is because both they and we are sinners, and therefore we as parents fail to consistently discipline them, and they as children fail to consistently obey the Word of God. Both of us do that. And so when we as parents fail to rear our children biblically, sometimes what happens is we see produced in their lives the opposite result of what we desire, of what God desires. And God tells us and warns us about one pitfall that is there as a major problem when it comes to child rearing in Christ. And then not only does he tell us what to avoid, but he then tells us how to go about using a two-sided approach to child rearing that will produce God's goal in the life of a child. And so he begins by telling us how not to raise covenant children. And he begins by giving us this exhortation, this very difficult thing for fathers. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. You see, fathers, we are responsible for the rearing of our children. The child is given not to the state, but rather to the family to be raised to the glory of God. And therefore, the responsibility of the Christian family to rear our children for the Lord and to educate them in the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ falls upon our shoulders. And we cannot neglect that. We dare not neglect that without serious consequences in the lives of our kids. Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Provoke means to cause someone to become very angry. Now, Paul, in writing to the Christians in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, says something that's slightly different. There, he exhorts fathers not to exasperate their children so that they lose heart. And what he's talking about there is don't cause your children to feel such resentment that they become disheartened and lack motivation to do what they're called upon to do. He's saying the same type of thing, really, using two different terms here. Don't provoke them to wrath. Don't exasperate them so that they lose heart. You see, the wrong kind of child rearing will not help that child to grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ. The wrong kind will not help. We fail here often. We fail by under-discipline. This can be, we can provoke our children to wrath. We can exasperate our sons and our daughters by under-discipline, by making rules after the fact. I'm sure you probably know parents that do that. Just don't have any rules at all, and then when something goes terribly wrong, they begin to make rules after the fact and try to enforce them, but maybe only sporadically. Inconsistent discipline can do that. You know what that's like? You let little Johnny get away with something because you were too hard on him. The first time you feel guilty, you were so severe, and so the next time he gets away with something he really ought to be punished for. Or you feel guilty because you were too lax, and so you're really going to nail him the next time, and maybe it's an accident, and you come down on him like gangbusters. Sometimes we have so many rules in families that it's impossible to enforce them all. Let's not forget that God in the Garden of Eden gave one rule: not to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God on Mount Sinai gave 10 commandments. Praise the Lord that that's all He gave. He didn't give 627 commandments. Because think how difficult that would be. Sometimes we parents have way too many commandments, sort of like the federal government. There's probably some commandment that we're breaking right now in this room, okay? There's so many rules and regulations that there's probably something out there that you and I don't even know about that we're violating right at this moment. Nobody knows what the rules are. And therefore, nothing's done about them. You can't enforce them all when you've got that. Sometimes we have problems with divided authority between mom and dad. Parents are in a disagreement over how to discipline their children. I think I've perhaps told you the story about this one little boy when we were in France in language school that knew how to really play his parents one against another. There was a couple there. They were not out with our mission. They were out with another mission. And dad wanted to discipline the children, and mom, oh, these sweet little dears, they don't really need anything. And everybody else in the entire school there, once they met the children one time, didn't want to be around them. And this little boy could get away with murder, and when his dad was ready to clobber him, he'd run to mom and she would protect him. He's the one that one day I was walking across the parking lot, threw a rock right in front of me and hit my car. And this is the only child in my life that I've ever really wanted to strangle. Because I told him not to do that, and he cut loose with some words that sailors don't use. The sailors are embarrassed to use, okay? And this is a little kid about this big. That's what made me angry. So I took him and I grabbed him by the arm and I marched him up to his dad and knocked on the door, and his dad came to the door of their apartment, and I told him what his son had said. I just sort of shoved him into the apartment and turned around and left. That was all I could do. But the problem in that family was mom didn't want to ever touch the children, and dad was frustrated. And you better believe kids are smart. They'll play one off against the other. When they find out somebody's a soft touch, they're smart. They know how to beg until that one particular parent will give in. They know that consistent discipline will not be enforced. Sometimes we under-discipline our kids by using methods that are not scriptural methods. I've talked about the decibel method of child rearing. It's a wrong method. That's where you yell louder until you finally get their attention. Well, what ends up happening is the fact that the child learns that until you reach that particular level of loudness, he doesn't have to pay attention. I saw this with a little kid in a sandbox one time. Mom came to the door, the back door. This was in Florida when Debbie's folks lived in a particular place, and their backyard backed up against somebody else's backyard. And I saw the mom in this other backyard come to the back door and say to the little kid who's sitting in the sandbox, "Johnny, come in. It's time to eat," or something like that. Johnny continues to play in the sink. So she raised her voice just a little bit louder. "Johnny!" See, totally oblivious. She raised it 2 or 3 times until she finally got to the point where she was red in the face. "Johnny!" And he realized, uh-oh, It's reached that level. Now it's time to listen. Well, what happens there is, it doesn't give you a stroke. The child knows he doesn't have to pay any attention until you reach that one particular decibel. And then it's time to obey. Don't beg and plead with children to respond either. Don't count 1, 2, 3. Because you know what they learn? They can wait until 4. If mom and dad say, I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, it's not until you get to 3 or you get to 4 that you have to do anything. No, that's not going to work. Underdiscipline provokes children to wrath. They don't know where the boundaries are. Overdiscipline does the same thing. Sometimes we have grown up with parents that, you know, just were too lackadaisical. They were too permissive. And sometimes folks that have grown up in a household like that react in the opposite direction, and they're over-disciplinarians. Everything is so regimented that you can't take a breath if it's not on the schedule. Everything's a federal offense, in other words. Doesn't matter what it happens to be, everything is treated as though this was a nuclear attack by the enemy. And it is now time to put on the helmet and respond. And that's no way to do this, because the Bible's quite clear that the, quote, punishment must fit the crime. Grounding your child for a year because you're angry is only going to punish you. And it's not going to last either. If anybody's ever been so mad that you've done that, you know, you're grounded for an entire year. It's not going to last out the week. And the child learns, well, he didn't really mean it in the first place, and you're the one that's driven crazy by it. Children have to learn to be able to talk to you without talking back as well. And we talked last week a little bit when I was addressing the children about the fact that there's some things kids have to learn on their own and other things that have to absolutely be enforced because you as parents know better. Example of that is a child learning to ride a bicycle. Can you learn to ride a bicycle without getting bumps and bruises? No, probably not. I didn't. I suspect most of you didn't that know how to do that. You fall down. Eventually get to the point where you can actually balance on the bicycle and stays with you the rest of your life. It's amazing the way God worked that out. I assume that it works that way with roller skates, but I've never been on them long enough to be able to do anything other than break my leg. But it's amazing how God does that. So, you know, there's some minor things that can happen, like a broken leg. Yes, that hurts. But then there are some things that you have to really protect them from, such as a small child reaching for a gas flame on a stove. You're going to stop that from ever occurring. Because we had some friends in France that their little boy, they had an oven, and he was just a toddler. And mom had taken something out of the oven and left the stove door down. And she turned around to do something, and he came over and fell and put both hands on that hot oven door. That's the type of thing you really want to avoid, seriously, because of serious injury. We need to avoid, and so there's a difference between bicycle-type things and playing in the street-type things. I'm talking about Interstate 10. Okay, you don't get out and play in the middle of Interstate 10. Don't automatically say no. Everything that your child wants to do, that exasperates them. They feel like you really aren't listening. If you know, Dad, I'm like, no! Well, no! You can't even explain what it is. Encourage your children. So, those are some negative things. Don't do that. Don't exasperate them. Don't treat them in that way. But instead, God has a two-sided approach to actually doing it the right way. And that is, you're commanded to nourish your children. It's the same term that's used, husband, to describe you're nourishing your wife, and of Christ nourishing the church. It means to provide for the physical and the spiritual needs of your child. And there are two sides that need to be kept in the balance. There is the side that involves what you do to your child, the disciplined training aspect of it, and the side that has to do with what you say to the child, the counsel, the instruction, the admonition. This is what God has always taught. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15 says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Now, notice that there are two parts to that. The rod is what is done to the child. It's a spanking when he needs it. And rebuke is what is said to the child. And both of those are said to bring wisdom. But you'll notice that the option is never given to the parents to allow a child to grow up on his own without adult parental supervision. It's one of the problems with Rousseau's theory of the innocent, noble savage. Anybody ever read the original Tarzan novel by Edgar Rice Burroughs? Okay. Tarzan is John Clayton. He grows up in the jungle. His parents have been shipwrecked there. They die. He's a baby. He gets raised by apes. Okay. This is the backstory. But there's this aspect of Rousseau in it, because what happens is this child who's raised by animals, because he's a human being, learns to speak French and read English. Yeah, the English books lying around, blocks. He teaches himself to read English. Ask your kids, did you teach yourself to read English? All right. Real problem with that, along with a number of other things, real problem with that whole idea. You see, what actually would happen is a child left to himself is going to choose to learn what he wants, and what he wants is, because of his own wicked, sinful heart, the path of least resistance. He's going to choose the easy way out. And so a child left to himself becomes a thief rather than a hard worker, because it's a whole lot better and a whole lot easier, he thinks, to hold somebody up with a knife or a gun and take their stuff than it is to work for it. It's a lot easier. And so the Bible says, you leave your child to himself, he's not going to make you proud. He'll bring shame on you. And so God says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but nourish them in the disciplined training and admonishing counsel of the Lord. The disciplined training of the Lord. That means to train someone in accordance with proper rules of conduct and behavior. It's training that you impose from without upon your child. It is training that has structure to it. As someone once said, it's discipline with teeth. It involves program with goals and methods in mind. It's patient, it's persistent, it's consistent effort until the right way of life is produced in your child. And it's backed up by the rod, by punishment. The Bible tells us some interesting things. This very word that's used here is also used in Hebrews chapter 12 to describe the discipline that we undergo as Christians. And there, that discipline is likened to scourging. And scourging is not the rod. Scourging is severe. Severe. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening. That's that word for discipline here. Of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, disciplines, and scourges every son whom he receives. It hurts. It hurts, but it has a purpose. Now, no chastening, no discipline seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, and here's the result, nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And so parents were to use this type of discipline whenever it is necessary to produce the fruit of righteousness in our children. The Bible does say He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. And foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. Now, don't anybody take away from here. Pastor said to go out and beat your kids. That's not what I'm saying. Okay, I'm not saying that. I'm not sorry. You can't quote me as saying that. That's not what we're getting at here. What we're getting at here is that there are times when that is necessary, and that is the gracious, fast remedy to a situation that God has ordained. The Lord built one of the largest sets of muscles in the human body for us to sit on, and it's a good target to use for kids. Because it doesn't do permanent damage, but it does get their attention. And that's how we're to view it, and that's what we're supposed to do. But at the same time, we're also to offer genuine reward for genuine achievement as well. And so all of that has to do with this disciplined training. But there's the admonishing counsel of the Lord as well, and that is instruction that's given. It means advice that you give to someone concerning the dangerous consequences of some action or activity. And what that basically means is you are to confront your child with the Word of God to change what is wrong in his life and to bring him to repentance so that he turns away from sin and turns to the Lord Jesus. It means reaching down into his soul with the Word of God to change him for his benefit and for the glory of God. It means teaching him self-discipline under Christ. It's not manipulation. The idea as your children grow, parents, is for them to move from your imposed structure that is on them from outside to a self-discipline that comes from within as the Holy Spirit deals in their hearts through the Word of God. That's the goal. To change in that way. And the ultimate goal, the final goal, the end, is that your child rearing is to be of the Lord. It's this. You should desire, to bring the heart of your child to the heart of the Savior. That's the goal of all Christian child rearing. Because you can produce the smartest, most intelligent, most likable children in the world, and if they do not know Christ, they will go to hell. You are to bring their heart to the heart of Jesus Christ. That's the goal. That's the end result you want to see. You can't do better than obey God's will that's revealed in Scripture to try to accomplish this task. And so what you're hoping for, what you're praying for, what you're working for is that as your child grows older, that your job will be simply to see God develop in him this godly self-discipline that he's going to need as a Christian adult. Moving from your external discipline to self-discipline under the Word of God. Allowing him to obtain gradual growing responsibility around the home. Because, you see, what you really want to happen, and what Paul is driving at here, I believe, and what Scripture drives at throughout, is the task of you as a Christian parent is to one day let go of a godly man or a godly woman who has learned from your teaching and your instruction how to live a God-honoring life through faith in Jesus Christ and God's Word. That's the goal. That's what you want. Turning loose on this society, children who have now become adults, who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who turn to the Word of God, who are seeking to live holy lives for their Savior. and putting that into practice in every area of their lives. It's a tough task. It's a big task. It's an impossible task. It cannot be done apart from the blessing of God, the Word of God, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't be done apart from that. But with all of those things, that's the end result that we desire to see. Godly men, godly women, who will come along in the next generation, who will go far beyond us in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, their dedication, devotion, zeal, and service to Him. That's what we want to see. That's what we want to see. Let's pray.